Hey guys, a couple things. First off, I'm sorry that it has been a couple weeks since you've had your most recent update of Pickled Eggs and Cold Beer. The reason is simple. I am a political scientist, and it is the month of November. And in November, political scientists' lives, every year or so, are, well, every couple of years, let's say, are taken over by elections. And in the early part of the month, I had virtually no time at all that wasn't involved either in my job as a professor and teaching and administrative duties, and then the election. Also, over at the glorious University of Virginia's College of Wise, we're in the middle of a search to add another political scientist to the department, and which is very, very exciting. It's wonderful. I'm very pumped about it. I'm going to miss my peer Garrett, who's going to be retiring, but regardless, that takes an enormous amount of work as well. So that combination of things have left me a bit overwhelmed. So I wasn't able to edit the episode we already had, and I also we haven't been able to record anymore. So hopefully we're going to be back on track very soon, and that'll be great. Another thing to bear in mind: the episode we recorded. This is an episode we recorded with my friend Justin Smith, dear friend of mine who lives in Knoxville. You're going to really enjoy it. But it's long, and it's long by our standards. We know this is a long podcast. We know long podcasts aren't for everyone, but this is long even by our measure. So what we've decided to do is, to put it simply, we've decided to make sure that it doesn't go overboard and split it into two separate episodes. So this World's Fair Beer episode is going to be actually two different episodes. You'll see why it's gonna be long. But we'll release them in short order so that they're kind of separated and broken up. Anyways, before we go on, you know what? I'd like to go on and give a shout out to our sponsors. Of course, as usual, our episode is sponsored by two wonderful local businesses, Lieben Farms, a community supported agriculture program or CSA that offers locally grown fresh vegetables in weekly boxes to its members in Southwest Virginia and East Tennessee. Using organic and regenerative practices to grow nutrient-dense food, community-supported agriculture is a food production and distribution system that directly connects farmers and consumers. In short, people buy shares of a farm's harvest in advance, then receive a portion of the crops as they are harvested. You can check them out on Facebook or on Instagram. Also, Glade Pharmacy in Glade Spring, Virginia. Glade Pharmacy is at 33472 Lee Highway in Glade Spring, Virginia. It's locally owned. It's locally managed. It is a super high quality, small pharmaceutical service. And guys, I know everybody who works over there, they're all wonderful human beings. And if you go in there, if you're near Emory and Henry College, you are near Glade Pharmacy. So it's very convenient if you are in the Northern Tri-Cities in particular. Guys, if you go in there and you see Seth, my old roommate, tell him, "Hey, Eric winked at you through the microphone, and he said you know what it means, and it's a reference to a great joke." And he'll just look at you stoically, like, "What are you talking about?" And it's gonna go great. It's gonna go great. He'll be very confused, and eventually he'll write me an email and say, "What's going on with you? Have you lost your mind?" All right, guys, on with the show. In 1982, something happened in Knoxville, Tennessee that shocked the world. Dare I say it, it probably shocked Knoxville itself. Knoxville became the home to the World's Fair. By all accounts, the event was a great success. Today, artifactual vestiges are scattered throughout the leafy hills of old East Tennessee. Beer steins, pennants, shot glasses, and T-shirts abound at antique stores. The roads are dotted with signs that show distance in kilometers as well as miles. And of course, the gleaming emblem of the fair, the glorious golden sun sphere, stands as a majestic colossus, visible from anywhere in downtown Knoxville, including the nosebleed seats of the University of Tennessee's old Neyland Stadium. What many people don't know, but absolutely should, is that the story of the World's Fair is tied intimately to a beer. A beer that was available for less than a year, a beer that, even in its short tenure, was sold with nine different can designs, making it an instant collectible and a triumph of marketing. Alas, from all reports, the original version of World's Fair beer was not good. We can't attest to that, given that your hosts were barely in elementary school when it was produced. But we heard it was being reformulated and re-released, this time as a 35 ABU Pale Ale. And, well, we just had to try it. Today, on Pickled Eggs and Cold Beer, we're talking about World's Fair Beer. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, cats and kittens, it's that time again, that hour of the week we all gather together over the warm glow of a 1982 Light Bright to share a frosty cold beer, consider its place in our history and culture, and review it like we were John Lovitz and The Critic. Probably we're going to make some wild, pointless detours, and as always, I'm your host, Eric Drummond-Smith, joined by my co-host, the inimitable Jason Matthew Clayman. What's up, Clayman?
Hello.
How are you doing today?
Fine.
What did you do this morning? What's going on? What's been going on this week?
Things. Stuff.
See, Clayman, what's funny is every time you talk, people are like, oh, you've really gotten Clayman to start acting like he's on a podcast. And then when you do that, people are like, is he okay? Did he have a stroke?
I really just wait for you to piss me off on the podcast. And you're trying to start early.
Yeah, I am. Hey, guys, we have a guest. Our guest is the loquacious, the ostentatious, that's all I got. Justin Smith. What's up, Justin?
Hey, how's it going?
How are you doing? Tell everybody what you do in the world.
I live in Knoxville, Tennessee. Yeah. Knoxville, Tennessee. I write.
Yeah.
Whenever I can. I got three kids, so it's very difficult to write.
You need to be closer to the microphone.
Closer to the microphone. Okay.
These are not good microphones.
How is this? Is this better?
That's fine. I mean, you could have left the thing down. He had the
spit guard.
Thank you. Down and but you were leaning back.
Oh, okay.
You were relaxed like these were good microphones.
Yeah, I didn't realize I had to be like all up on it.
Yeah, no. These are what I call low end microphones.
This is not Joe Rogan and Elon Musk.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. This is a man who was in my fraternity and me. That's it.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool. Sorry about that. Yeah, no, continue. I'm sorry. Continue.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm a writer.
Yeah.
I have a day job in which I work for the government, but mostly I just write and fetch things for small children who are very demanding.
And what was your previous occupation for the government before your current government job?
I was in the United States Army.
Yeah.
I was spent most of my time with the 82nd Airborne, which is probably why I have a slight limp with my right leg.
Sure.
Jumping out of planes isn't exactly a fun thing to do.
Tom Cruise says it's fun.
No, Tom Cruise is
for that movie, he did it like 80 times. I mean, are you not as cool as him?
A lot of jump time.
Of course, yeah. I'm not as cool as Tom Cruise. If I was as cool as Tom Cruise, I'd be in movies.
Yeah, but then you'd be a like short person.
Well, yeah. Maybe you could do like Scientology like he does.
Yeah, have you considered Scientology?
Well, I mean, they kind of suck you in and then you're stuck for life. Like, you can't get out.
No, people leave. I've seen that documentary.
There's television shows all about it.
There's all about it.
Yeah. So,
by the way, Clayman and I decided before we started we were going to take a real hard line against you. We're gonna be. This is gonna be a brutal interview.
Did you have to go through some sort of interrogation training? Because this is gonna make that look like a day at the World's Fair.
Oh, wow. Wait a
yeah.
So excited. See the tie-ins. Yeah, I see the tie-ins. Yeah,
we're professionals, sort of.
Yeah, I can tell by the hat you're wearing.
Yeah, I'm wearing a Davy Crockett hat, guys.
But it's like the same one that a 7-year-old wears, so it really doesn't fit. Yeah,
it doesn't. No, it's a solid medium, so it's made just barely big enough.
It's made from the ass hair of a trash panda.
It is literally a real raccoon tail.
Yeah,
and I'm wearing it for no clear reason.
Yeah, you actually look like how I imagine AK looked like in high school.
No, I showed you what he looked like just a minute ago.
Yeah, that's true.
You did.
AK, we wish you were here, but you're off doing stuff because you love your family. Clayman, how do you feel about that?
No comment.
You,
I have a family.
Clayman, you have a family, but you're here, aren't you?
Yep.
So that's all we're going to say.
That's because they woke me up in a rude manner this morning.
How did you wake up this morning?
To my 5-year-old son dumping an entire box of toys into an empty bathtub.
And why would he do that?
Because he hates him.
Because he's my kid. So that makes sense.
That's it. That was the logic. Also in the background, listening to everything, he's taking a minor role, but anything he wants to say, you can shout it out. We have the great, the opulent, the elegant Stephen Edward Wiley. What's up, Wiley? You want to shout anything?
He's playing on his phone. He's not paying attention.
He's not even listening. Yeah. Well, we love you, Wiley.
Still on the phone. Yeah.
Well, guys, we've got today's beer is the 35th anniversary Redux of the World's Fair beer. Let's go ahead and open it. Then we'll talk about it.
We'll let it breathe.
So always the first one in the glass, Justin.
Yep. Okay.
I'm sure you're an avid listener. You've told us.
Yeah. I am. It's a good show. I like it.
Please don't drag it just on the surface of the table. All that does is show up on the recording.
Well, it's not really going to ruin your table.
Interesting color.
I'm not worried about the table.
To begin with, interesting color.
It is a pale ale.
A PA.
But is it 35 IBU.
It's a little cloudy.
Yeah, it's a little cloudy. There's
it's like a hazy IPA almost.
Yeah. Hazed and confused.
A fair amount of head.
It smelled like... Compared to what I thought it was going to be, it smells really good.
Yeah, now we've heard, Justin and I, you know, it should be said, Justin he and I got to be friends, but he was actually a student of mine, like my second year teaching at Tennessee.
Yeah.
And then we just got to be like really close friends.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Well, actually, so Eric helped me out because if there's one thing the Army does, it convinces you that you're stupid and that you can't do anything else. So when I left the Army en route to college, I thought I was going to fail out miserably, even at a state school. And so Eric, his class was the very first class I took, and he pulled me aside one day and he said, "Look, you're not smart."
I did not say that.
But you are in no way going to fail my class. And I said, "Okay, well, that makes me feel a little bit better. Thank you."
I absolutely did not say you were not smart.
Did he pull you aside and say, "Hey, dumbass, come over here"?
I was like, "Hey, dummy." Yeah. We were the chemistry.
Like, look at my tiny little kid's hat and.
Yeah. So the color is again. Yeah, you're right. It's very cloudy. There's a lot of particulate matter. Definitely unfiltered. Have you tasted it?
Are you sure this is not a can from 1967?
I bought this.
Or 1982.
Summer.
I mean.
1982. No, this is. Yeah. It was. In fact, the original one was a lager. It wasn't a pale ale. So that's right.
I mean. This definitely looks like something that my dad would have held while he told the state trooper that, no, he wasn't going to jail and he could kiss his ass. Like, that's the type of can it's in.
Wow, that is an interesting flavor.
It is. It
has an IPA sort of smell to it.
It does.
Yeah.
And it...
Citrusy?
Like the big orange.
Yeah, it is a little leads a little orangey, like almost like mandarin, kind of the lighter
or
oranges.
The entire slow lane on I-40.
Yeah, it's
the what is it? The front notes, is that what you call it when you the beginning taste?
Sure,
is really good. The aftertaste leaves something to be desired. I feel.
First, I don't think this is something I would want to have more than two of.
No, this is. I'm glad I only have to drink one or two.
It says in honor.
I like it. I like it though.
In honor of Pat Gleason, is that somebody that's related to Jackie?
No. The names that they put on the beers are related to people in the brewing industry in Knoxville in the 80s.
Who survived the road construction in Knoxville?
Yeah, who's
for the past 40
precisely.
Years?
Precisely. They are, and thereby making them American heroes. Yeah, you're right. By the way, you're right about the aftertaste. The aftertaste isn't... It's a little, like, starchy, like corn starch, kind of.
Yeah, but if you just continue taking drinks, it is very good, actually.
As long as
you don't let it sit, it's very good.
So this is... Yeah. You got to hammer this.
Yeah.
I wonder if adding, a citrus to it, like a...
What about salt?
We're not going to put salt in this.
I've heard that's bad.
It was an experiment. We did it, and yeah, it's got a lot of head.
I think you need to wipe your finger between your nose and your cheek.
Yep, Clayman is currently playing with the head.
I told Eric to do that one time, like, and he stuck his hand in his ass. Oh, my God. I said, wrong cheek, buddy.
Clayman is playing with his head like it's silly putty.
And then he said, this beer tastes like shit.
You see what he did there? He's DC.
That's a really good coffee great. This morning.
Did you?
Yeah.
Where'd you get really coffee from?
My kitchen. Where do you get your coffee from?
I don't drink coffee. So, yeah, all right, so...
how are you an adult in academia and you don't drink coffee?
I don't know. I drink a lot of tea, but I'm just not a coffee drinker. I love the smell. I really do like the smell. I don't like the taste.
It's because you do East Asian politics. That's why you do tea.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't really drink tea that much till I went to China in college, and that's when I started drinking tea.
So were you able to see all the tea in China?
No, but I saw a lot of the tea in Tianjin.
Oh, yeah, because everybody knows what that is.
It's one of the biggest cities in the world.
Oh, okay.
Is that is that on the way to Knoxville from here?
Tianjin?
Yes.
If you go, all right, let me tell you how to get there.
Is it near Bean Station?
Yeah. Is there a name for the city in English?
Go so to Rogersville. Know what it is? It literally, Tianjin means like Heaven's Gate.
I know them. They had the best shoes.
I knew you were going there. What's funny is millennials are listening to this like, what the hell are they talking about?
Oh my. Remember the Heaven's Gate vodka in college?
Yeah. Yeah, one of our friends, one of our fraternity brothers, who will remain nameless, this is important. One day we were going to a function and we were all getting everything ready. And he shows up with something he made for the function. And what was that, Clayman?
It was a bottle of vodka with a new label on it.
Yeah, he had soaked the label off and made one that looked pretty real.
Heaven's Gate vodka.
Heaven's Gate brand
95% phenobarbital.
And we were just like, it was hilarious. And then he drank most of it on the way to function. Someone else was driving him. That needs to be said. I want to make this very, very clear.
Do you want to do the disclaimer right now?
Which one?
Consume alcohol responsibly.
Yeah. Please, no. We always say that at the end normally, but yes, we do at Pickled Eggs and Cold Beer. We encourage you to consume beer responsibly. And Clayman, do not put your hand on my leg when I'm talking about consuming anything. Or at all. Ever. I appreciate the gesture. Jason. I just looked over.
Justin's just holding the glass.
Justin's just holding the glass. By the way, Justin, your beard game, I've said this to you in the real world.
Yeah.
But your beard game is on point today.
Well, thank you.
You look like a mountain man.
Yeah, that's kind of the look I'm going for.
Like, if you were if you walked into a bar and said, listen, guys, I'm a fireman. I expect someone to just pay for my beers all night. It would happen. And if you came up with complex lies about it, then boom.
Yeah, I think I might try that.
We're going to try that later.
Yeah.
We're going to introduce you. We're going to take Justin out later to Wolf Hills Brewing in Abingdon, Virginia, where I do trivia every Wednesday and where my art shows up for the remainder of the month. And Justin,
I thought that was a preschool art project.
Yeah. You're very kind about my art, and I do appreciate it. But Justin, we're going to take... Thank you, Clayman.
You're welcome.
We're going to take Justin over there in a little bit and buy him some local beers and give him a couple samplers, probably. How's that sound?
That sounds awesome. Yeah.
And we're going to tell them that you are a fireman.
No, with that beard, we're going to tell... You need to walk in and be like, I'm here, I'm from Asheville, and I need to know where the closest Subaru dealership is.
Hey, okay, we were talking about this earlier, so I drive a Subaru.
Which is a lovely car. Very reliable.
It is a great reliable car. Yeah. And they don't tell you this when you buy a Subaru, but until after you bought it. But now I have unlimited access to the city of Asheville and the entire state of Oregon. I can go there anytime I want.
I've heard, is Boone also on the list?
Oh, yeah.
Cool. Yeah. But there's a disclaimer also. There's a 2-cat minimum for Subaru owners.
Never mind.
Yeah.
Well, first off, Trevor does not have cats. Are they going to revoke his Subaru license?
Let's hope nobody from Subaru listens to this, because then
I'm confident
they're
going to
repossess that car.
They're going to repossess it like the government going to repossess them guns.
But
they're coming to get them.
Guys, by the way,
if did you know that Asheville means Heaven's Gate in Chinese?
It does. Guys, if you have any questions or comments or anything like that, including those you would like us to pass on to Justin, write us at pickledeggsandcoldbeer@gmail.com or
I have so
Facebook,
many questions for you, Eric. I'm gonna start sending them that email.
You've had access to this web. You go crazy.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
You've given me free reign.
So
So Eric, or write us on the website.
When you guys called me and I was driving from work to go take my daughter to golf,
yes,
which got rained out, you asked me to write a short story about a man named Larry Henry and Ham's Beer. I wrote that story. I sent it to you.
You did. You're a great person.
It took me about 30 minutes to write, because you can only write so much about Ham's Beer.
That's fair.
So, you can throw that up on the website.
So we're going to put that on the website. I am a bad friend and have not read it yet. Hold on, let me see. There it is.
Have a
shitty
day. Yeah. So we're going to pull it up right now.
It's
5 pages long.
Yeah, I would not advise reading
it. We shouldn't read the whole thing.
On air. You can if you want.
Can I read the end? And just so people will know,
read the last 3 sentences.
Yeah, that's why I did, as I scroll through. All right.
Yeah,
I'm going to just read the last. It's four. I guess it's four in a, maybe 4 pages in a paragraph. So I'm read the last paragraph. 10 minutes later, Dave was on the phone with the police. Upon arrival, Dave gave the police the story. One of the officers could have sworn he gave a bunch of tickets to a guy named Larry earlier that day. The officers entered the barn where Larry stood, naked, amid a herd of aggravated swine. 15 minutes of coaxing could not convince Larry to leave the barn, and the cops were not going to try and tackle a naked, drunk man in the middle of a bunch of pissed-off pigs. Finally, the cops were forced to ask the man what he was doing. Larry replied with the first and only thing that came to mind. "I just like pigs."
Boom.
That's the end of the story.
That's it.
Boom. So we're going to post that on...
You want to go ahead and just send the Pulitzer...
You just told them your address.
We can edit that out.
We're going to edit that out.
Let's put a fake address in there.
Yeah.
All this is going to be edited out. Nobody gives a shit.
Yeah. Just send that to 1525 Penn Island.
It means penis land, Eric.
Sorry.
Yeah.
One of my coworkers asked me to throw that in. It's his favorite line to use.
He asked you to give that joke. That was the joke.
I said, "Hey guys, I'm going to go do this podcast, which is essentially just my idiot friends from college drinking beer and talking into microphones." And they said, "Can you mention my favorite place in the world?" And I said, "Absolutely."
I'll 1, 2, 3. Penn Island.
Yep.
Wonderful.
Yep.
Penis land.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I teach high school. I know that shit.
Yeah, it didn't take Clayman any time at all.
1.2 milliseconds. He's talking about penis land. It's right next to Santa's workshop.
It is.
So, let's talk about the beer for a second.
Okay, yeah.
It's not bad.
You mean the point of the show? Okay.
I'm gonna tell you,
allegedly.
It may be better than Ham's.
Oh, it's much better than Ham's. Are you kidding?
It's been years since I've drank like a readily available beer, but I would say that if I were given this at a bar or at my friend's house while doing a podcast, I would not be disappointed.
No, it's
fine. Yeah,
I think it's kind of that it meets kind of in the middle between craft and readily available.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
That's actually a good way to put it. Yeah,
it's actually
a beer.
Well, it definitely is like ale-y. Right, like it's got all the ale notes, but it also has just enough kind of the hoppy lean to the IPA.
Like Wiley would hate this.
Yeah, Wiley, I don't think you'd like this. Wiley, would you like to taste it?
I'd rather lick the pavement.
Wiley would rather lick the pavement.
Well, you did spill Miller High Life all over the pavement.
I did.
So.
Not the pavement, the tiling of Toilet Kitchen Studio.
I wish your kitchen was paved.
You wish it was just like
asphalt.
Asphalt?
Yeah.
Because then it would be asphalt toilet kitchen studios. Yeah.
So
asphalt.
I don't know what to say anymore. All right, no. Okay. What was I going to say? It was really smart. I'm just kidding. It wasn't. I was going to say it. So a couple things that are worth knowing about the original. The original was very different from this, apparently. It was a lager.
Okay.
It was not good. It was, what was it? This comes from an article, an interview from 2017 when the Redux was released. If you drink the original beer, or if you drank the original beer, you were sorry in two ways. One, you decreased the value of the can because you opened it. And two, you tasted the beer, which just wasn't very good. Now it's a beer that is meant to be drank, and it's meant to be enjoyed. So that's how, like, one of the founders of the beer describes, the Redux, I guess, describes it. So, but the original one, the entire logic of the original one is completely different, right? They basically came up with it as an idea of basically marketing. So, you know, the World's Fair lasted for 6 months, and they released 9 different versions of the can. We've got pictures of all of those, actually, on the blog, or on the website. If you want to look at them, they're all really different. Have you all seen those? Would you like to see them?
I'm just here for the beer. I don't give a shit about the pictures.
Anyway, so that's what they look like. There's a gold one, there's a black one, and there's an orange one. The rest have white backgrounds and then different colors. Yeah, what about
it? I was like, wow, what's the point? Like, it looks like, remember when your mama would buy that bag of Starlight Mints that were all the different colors?
Mm-hmm.
So you'd have like the pink one, the yellow one, the green one, the red one?
Yeah.
That's what it reminded me of.
Well, there's a reason.
I think this is like the precursor to Pokemon. You just got to collect them all.
You've got it, man. You just nailed it. The idea was to encourage collecting. So literally, now remember this is 1982. In 1982, the original... six packs were something like $1.25 a six pack. By the end of the first, by the end of the 6 months, the first color combination was selling for $30 a six pack.
What?
Yeah. And that's in $1982, which I believe is $2,000 today.
Shit. For a minute, I was like, rip, man.
No. Now, apparently the beer, we mentioned like the beer has like names on it and it's dedicated to like people who are involved in like marketing and brewing in Knoxville historically. But the beer was also, it used to have a tagline dedicating it to the Zeta chapter of Pi Kappa Alpha at the University of Tennessee. It was literally a fraternity beer. It was designed as a fraternity beer, which you have to assume... might indicate what about its flavor content. Is anyone here?
Yeah. No, sorry. We're reading the book that told us to read.
Not during the podcast.
Oh, you didn't say that.
Okay. I have to it's become a rule. Every episode, I have to take something away from Clayman that he's playing with that distracts him from the podcast.
So is he your five-year-old son?
Yes, Clayman is my five-year-old son.
One day a week, I get to come over here and be irresponsible.
And that's what you do? That's,
yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
It's called a release valve.
I'm like, okay, I'm leaving. I'm going to go to Eric's and fuck shit up for 2 hours.
Well, you can. Now, it should be said, the book, we're going to talk about that book in a few minutes because it's awesome that you were looking at. Are you okay?
Just scooting my chair back.
Okay.
What the hell is wrong with you?
Gave it a little scooch.
I've become paranoid. You've made me paranoid, dude.
Really? You paranoid?
Dude, I've earned the right to be paranoid in my life.
You need some medication. What you need. You're driving me crazy.
I need more medication. All right, so...
beer. That's all you need.
Yeah, have another beer.
Well, we're going to.
Let's do it.
Oh, I am.
Justin's already tried to get me to drink three.
I live my life a quarter mile at a time.
Hey, Clayman, you want to get the other beers? Let's go on and get these other beers done. Let's do these. And then, because Justin, you brought other beers as well, right?
I did. I brought beers from two different breweries back in Knoxville.
So we're going to talk about those as well. So this is like the Knoxville beer episode, really, in a lot of ways.
Are you going to open a brewery?
No.
I think you should.
I think I should too, but yeah, my wife's like, no, you're not gonna.
Clemmy, grab those other three beers real fast, and we'll go on and. Oh my god, gotta get carbonated.
You know, having listened to the show, I now understand a lot of what I hear.
Please elaborate on that.
Well, like, I now know why the chair makes the noise that it does.
Because it's on tile.
Yeah, well.
If we were on asphalt, we wouldn't have these problems.
And I mean, I had a guess as to why it was called Toilet Kitchen Studios, but now I know.
That there is a bathroom.
Yes.
Next to the stove.
Right by the stove. And you could cook beans, for instance, while using the resting
room. And then immediately have to do what beans make you do.
So, Eric, you want carpet in here?
Yeah, I'm thinking about getting a rug.
So you prefer carpet to the bare floor?
Well, guys, so this beer is... let me give you the ratings on Beer Advocate, Rate Beer, and Untappd. They got really good ones. The lowest was Rate Beer. Rate Beer gave it a 3.15.
Okay.
Untappd gave it a 3.32 of 5. And Beer Advocate gave it a 3.57 of 5. And it is. Do you feel the alcohol yet? It's a little.
I did 7 shots of bourbon in my truck before I came in. So.
Okay, so you just sat in the parking lot and did 7 shots of bourbon.
Yeah. As Randy yelled bullshit at me as he walked up the road.
Clayman had someone yell bullshit at him as he walked as he drove here.
It was great.
And it made his whole day. So we're it's a 5.4% alcohol. So we're about to sip from the can directly. Yeah.
Bullshit.
We'll see. I destroyed that devil organ you guys call a liver a long time ago, so it's probably just going straight through.
Then they take that out when you're in the military? Mm-hmm. They're like, hey, we're just going to, you don't need this.
They do. They do. That's why the 82nd is called Alcoholics Anonymous.
I said, that's the AA on the patch.
Yeah, that's what the AA on the patch means, yeah.
That's going great.
They try to tell you it means all American, but don't listen to them.
That's pretty.
A little different from the can. A little different, just carbonation factor.
Yeah,
I think it's milder. I think it's milder from the can.
I was going to say flatter, but that's not the right word.
So
it's more mild.
You think it's milder in the can, Eric?
What is up with you today? Have you been watching?
I asked a question.
1970s raunch comedies all morning.
Is that a genre?
Yeah, like Caddyshack and
80s.
Okay, you know what I mean. 70s and early 80s raunch comedies. Okay.
I want you to be dead asleep one day and have someone waken you by pouring shit into an empty bathtub.
I'm 100% confident that at some point when we lived in a dorm together for 2 years, you did.
Specifically?
Yeah.
Not out of malice or spite, but just out of, you know what? I don't think this shit needs to be in here anymore.
If you did it, it would absolutely be out of malice or spite. You did, when I broke my leg, you did at one point sit in my room, take my my crutches away from me, and then sit in the chair far enough away from me to just make fun of me for an hour where I couldn't reach you.
That's called friendship.
Yeah, and I thought it was better to do it to your face than to do it in the room next door.
That is true. Yeah, friends make fun of you in front of your back.
Can I just a quick story?
Yeah, go.
Absolutely. I don't know that I've told you this, but when Eric broke his leg, he went home and then he had to come back, and his dad had to get his stuff.
Oh, shit.
That's great. So his dad pulls up in the truck in the yard, like next to the door of the house.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And Eric's out there, and he was like, can you help me get some of Eric's things? And I said, sure. Let me go put my pants on first. It was like 7 in the morning.
Yeah.
And so what book was it?
It was East Asian theology or East Asian religion.
I need to get this book called The Art of War or some shit for Eric. All these things, and he was like, your dad was so pissed off.
Yes.
He was pissed. It was great.
There was a lot on his shoulders at that moment. And
Art of War or some shit.
He had to get, that was for Dr. Kellogg was teaching that class.
It was great.
And yeah, you helped my dad out and I appreciate that.
But it was just funny.
It should be said, when I finally, I was gone for like 2 weeks, right? It took a long time to recover.
I didn't think it was long enough, but yeah.
Sure. And when I came back, the only way we could come back is we had to divide up the responsibilities for keeping me alive between our friends. So in the dorm, who was horrifically in charge of keeping me alive?
Sean Taylor.
You. No, oh, Sean yeah. Taylor. No, Sean was my babysitter at home.
He gave you painkillers and booze.
Yeah. I was on enormous... I was on so many painkillers. Yeah. And I was like, I was zonked, man. I could barely think. And my mom and dad are like, they had reservations for it. They had a conference at the Greenbrier. So they were like, well, we need somebody to take care of
the Art of War conference and some shit.
I'm sure that my dad was in civil engineering. And they called Papaw, Sean Taylor, and said, will you come take care of Eric for the weekend while we're gone?
And I'll be there.
So he drives up. He's a great guy.
In his Buick.
Mom has a list of all the things I need to keep me alive because I've just undergone a traumatic accident and massive surgery. And the one thing she says that he cannot do is Eric is very, very high. He doesn't know what's good for him. So if he says he'd like a beer or something, you can't give him a beer. And Sean says, all right, Mrs. Smith. And as soon as they drive away, he goes to his car and he comes back with a six-pack of Heineken. He's like, I got you some beer, buddy.
And I
proceed to pass out for like 12 hours.
Did he also give you a Werther's Original?
and a half-used box of Kleenex from the back seat of the car.
Got you some Whorehound candy here.
Do you remember those? Whorehound. You remember those weird little tissues?
Candy.
The tissues in like the little square like plastic packs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you would take one out, and like they would all come out every time. And yeah. What a bad thing this were.
Sean's Buick, Velomints, and Kleenex.
Velomints.
So my Papaw story is Neil Hutton's cabin. I believe we were up there for, was it your bachelor party that we were up there for, or was it just a football?
Is this when we were on the roof?
Deal? No, this is the same weekend that just before Vaughn left, he decided to load the wood stove up with about 50 logs and burned us all out.
Yeah.
And so that, like the next night, Sean Taylor comes up with all the moonshine in the world and he proceeds to just chase me around the thing, getting me to drink moonshine. And that was like the first time I've ever drank moonshine.
Which is weird, right? You are a hillbilly.
Yeah.
And you had never had moonshine.
No, I'd never had. No, because my dad, the smartest thing my dad ever did for me was he let me taste beer when I was like 4.
Yeah.
And I said, I will never drink that devil juice ever again.
Yeah, here you are.
Yeah. Also, I'm a liar. So,
yeah.
Yeah. So, and so I didn't drink any alcohol until I was about 20.
Yeah.
So Sean Taylor's chasing me around his cabin, getting me to drink moonshine. I think I passed that at like 8:30.
You were asleep. I remember that. You were asleep really early.
Yeah.
And, we every hour we go in and check on you. And we're like, is he alive? Yeah, he just seems
to be asleep. I was done because I woke up the next, like, at 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm sweating to death. And I was like, oh my God, I'm sick. And I didn't realize that.
No, it was just that there was enough.
Vaughn had, you know, got the BTUs of the stove up to about like 800,
was that the
800
night
Kelvin.
That was the night that the roof actually got scorched, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sean was outside smelting iron in the living room.
Doom. Doom. Doom.
Gotta make new shoes for my horse.
He's got the old bellows going.
And an anvil. Doom. Just had these in the Buick.
Doom. Doom. That's why he could fix the Buick so quickly. He makes his own
parts.
It's
a horse-drawn Buick. So
best thing about that cabin, and Wiley can attest to this, dinner time on Friday nights was never before 11 p.m.
Mm-mm.
Ever. Do you remember that, Wiley?
Yep.
Sean would cook at like 11:30. We'd be like, why have we waited so late?
He'd
say, I don't know. I just wasn't hungry.
and that's actually still kind of a tradition, because if we go over there, then Neil is like, well, guys, I'm going to make steak for everybody, so don't worry, I'm cooking dinner Friday night. So it's midnight, and there's Neil outside, and you're like, he's been cooking on these steaks for 4 hours, and they come in, and they are as rare as if he barely touched the flame. And you're just like, what were you doing? He's like, oh, I was reducing things. I was reducing.
In the beautiful old days... Back when we were younger.
Back when we were beautiful.
You could judge the time by the level of the bourbon pot.
Yeah. Yeah, those days are way past. Yeah.
Anyway.
So about the beer.
Thank you, Justin.
From the can, the aftertaste doesn't seem to be as offensive.
It's not. Yeah. I just made a test.
Yeah. So I.
By that, do you mean you drank some?
Yeah, I'm going to kill you later.
So I'm wondering, Eric, in all your massive research that you did for this, did anybody say that it is a from the can beer or from the glass beer or anything like
that? I didn't see anything like that, no. I also, and sometimes some beers, they are, even the owners of the beers, the owners of the breweries will be like, we strongly recommend you drink this from the can. But I think it is, here's the thing though, like I think the front end taste is better from the glass.
Yes.
But the aftertaste simply is better. And I don't know if maybe that's because it isn't overly filtered, that maybe because we're drinking it from this, the extra unfiltered notes are still staying in the can. Maybe. I'm not sure. That's what I'm thinking.
I guess maybe it's just not releasing like it does from being poured. I don't know.
So from the glass, you prefer the front end in your mouth as opposed to when it's from the can.
Is this going to turn into another one of those Cali-esque episodes?
I'm unaware of what you are referring to.
I think you are a liar.
Justin seems appreciative of my willingness to comment.
I think it's spot on.
Great. Thanks, Justin. Oh, God.
Justin's an enabler.
I think he is an enabler.
He is the Ernest Hemingway of beer penis jokes right now. That's
the old man and the wheel.
I write them on an island.
Yeah. what island is that?
Penn Island.
If you don't get the joke, write it down, and you will. So
I have a writing sack shack there.
So that, you know what, actually, that is an insane question that comes to mind. What's your favorite Hemingway novel?
Who are you asking?
Both of you.
Just anybody?
Both of you.
I liked For Whom the Bell Tolls.
I love that song.
Yeah, it was a good one.
It is a good song.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could keep doing that.
That's
not, mm-hmm. So that's probably... What was that sound?
Cartoon Wiley, Network.
We just heard something in the back. Wiley is... Are you playing, like, Super Mario Brothers?
No, I think he just crushed a whole bunch of candy.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. Congratulations, Steven.
I'm not going to tell you what he said, because I heard it.
What did he say?
Well, we telepathically communicate.
Oh, you tell... Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Did you... Never mind. So Clayman, how about you? What's your favorite? I know you normally don't know how to read.
Forgot how.
Actually. You forgot.
I don't know that I have one. I mean, Old Man and the Sea, I've read.
It I love pretty Old good. Man and the Sea.
I thought it was good.
Have you read All Quiet on the Western Front?
No.
No, that's not him. That's, who is that? I can't remember.
Metallica.
That's Remarque. I'm sorry.
I don't have any remarks.
What is the one, the Spanish War? you clearly. What is the one in the Spanish Civil War? The Sun Also Rises.
Zorro. That's Zorro. Is that
Pancho Villa?
Pancho
Villa. Don Quixote.
Don Quixote. You guys remember when Ernest Hemingway wrote Don Quixote?
I think he wrote when Harper Lee redid it, but he wrote Tequila Mockingbird.
What?
Tequila Mockingbird.
And then she did a Southern cleaned up Baptist version called To Kill a Mockingbird.
So much more boring.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
okay.
Here's
a
the title.
Farewell to Arms is what I was thinking of. Not okay, but yeah, The Sun Also Rises is really good. Farewell to Arms, Old Man in the Sea, and For Whom the Bell Tolls. You know what? I've got to say though,
he was a drinker.
He really was.
That's the tie-in. Is that he was an incredible drunk?
Yeah.
Right now we're getting incredibly drunk.
Well, I'm not incredibly.
No,
drunk.
We are getting. This is the process of.
It is a process.
You're engaged in that process.
Yeah.
There is. Have you heard about the toilet in his garden?
What about the one in his kitchen?
I know he had a bunch of six-toed cats running around his house.
Yeah, he has mutant cats at his house. He apparently...
What are those cats? There's,
I don't know.
He's a kind of cat.
Yeah, so when
no,
I was...
No, they're mutants.
When
that's
I was a
like
kid, we went to his house. Like, I was like 12 or something, and...
Did I hang out with him?
Well, no, like...
He was dead.
It was a tour. Yeah, he was dead. I mean, you know...
Wait, what about his ghost?
No, because there was like 900 people to touring the place at the same time we were. But he had like the first like in-ground pool, even though he lived in Key West.
Yeah, it's not a real good idea.
Yeah, no. Well, it was like a saltwater pool or something. I'm like, well, you could just walk 5 feet and go to the ocean, but whatever, you want to spend money, cool. But he, yeah, there's like six-toed cats just running around everywhere.
They are referred to as polydactyl cats.
That just means,
that sounds like
that means they're half
multiple fingers.
That means some sort of bullshit math thing.
No,
that makes
poly, you know exactly what that means. Dactyl is finger, and poly means multiple.
I've got multiple fingers for you right now.
So what's I've only got one for you, so how about that?
What? Wiley responds in the back, what do you silently, say? With two fingers.
With two fingers, very good.
Dos dedos.
All right, here's the story.
It's a congenital
of the...
anomaly, being a polydactyl cat.
Yeah, so, yeah. I'm
not gonna, please, because I want to.
So. Anything done with genitals. It's just...
That's an easy... That's just an easy...
Yeah.
Why the hell are we doing this? Why are both of us looking this shit up?
What, the Ernest Hemingway stuff?
Yeah,
okay,
the
so...
Cat, why the hell am I
I'm not looking
at
up the cat. I'm looking up the urinal.
What,
so, in addition...
Woman?
In addition to being appreciated for his concise and direct writing style, Hemingway was known for his fondness for drinking to excess. His favorite bar was called Sloppy Joe's. The urinal from the original Sloppy Joe's bar is in the yard of the Ernest Hemingway House and Museum.
Well, it is Florida.
After a night of drinking, sure, Hemingway and Sloppy Joe Russell carried the urinal to Hemingway's home. They placed it next to the pool, where it serves today as a water bowl for the family cats. And he basically, apparently, from what I understand, he demanded the urinal because he said he had, in essence, paid for it, and he used it so much at that bar that he decided it was effectively his.
What was his favorite drink? Do we know?
Oh, that's a good question.
Rum?
I'm going to say rum. I'm going to say when you live in pirate country, your drink is rum.
I would think
right.
so.
Yeah.
Hemingway...
And probably back then, bourbon was really hard to get, I would say.
Oh, here's a whole article called Seven Things You Didn't Know About Hemingway's Drinking Habits. Let's open that.
Speaking
he
of
liked
pirates,
he liked mojitos, apparently.
He loved World's Fair beer. Loved it.
He liked daiquiris, whiskey sodas, martinis, gin and tonics, absinthe.
Who doesn't love absinthe?
All Campari drinks.
I almost got arrested one time for trying to smuggle absinthe into the country.
Really?
Yeah. Because my wife... They asked us, we were coming through customs, and the customs agent was like, do you have anything that you want to declare? And I said, absolutely not. And my wife's like, we got a bottle of absinthe in our suitcase. I was like, thanks, honey. That's awesome. We're going to jail.
Great.
She said that?
Yeah. Yeah, she totally said that.
I don't...
Well, she's a rule follower.
Oh,
and,
yeah. That's
yeah, those people are the worst.
So this is an article by Chantel Martineau on Food Republic website.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's seven
legit.
Anyway, seven things you didn't know about Ernest Hemingway's drinking habits. The mojito was not his favorite, but apparently he had a lot of go-to cocktails, but his favorite was the dry martini, apparently.
No, keep going. It's
sorry,
going.
We were just shown a picture.
Like Clayman, he likes his drinks icy cold.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, that's me.
There are a lot of stories that he's the person who invented the Bloody Mary. That is not true. I'm sorry, guys.
Yeah, I don't think that. Yeah.
And
came along a long time ago.
So Justin,
yes,
I think Eric's at the end of the article there. I
yeah.
wanted to ask you. You know, we drink beer here. We like beer, but I think this was you that told me this about drinking frozen drinks or mixed drinks in the Middle East somewhere. Was that you? Maybe having pitchers of them and having
yes.
this, a night that maybe never happened.
Yeah, actually. So, I was stationed in this country called Egypt.
That is on the Nile, right?
Yeah, yeah.
The Nile.
Thank you.
We're on the Sinai Peninsula in this little town. It was called. There were two towns. There's Nama Bay and Sharm El Sheikh. And Nama Bay was the side where like all the rich folks stayed, and Sharm El Sheikh was all the place that we would go because we were poor and we drank a lot. And there was this bar called the Crazy Daisy. And it was, I believe it was owned by a bunch of Dutch people.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
What city was this in? Cairo?
Sharm El Sheikh.
Can you spell that?
No, I cannot. I can just say it very...
Oh, wait. I think I got it.
There you go. So this bar called the Crazy Daisy, and it was, you know, it was your typical, you know, dark, loud music, dance club, whatever. And so they had these two drinks. They were like these liquor slushy mixed drink things, and nice. and their names were the green shit and the red shit, because one was green and one was red. Well, they were designed to take shots. Well, us being Americans, and Americans don't really know how to drink, because Americans just drink to excess, we thought they were made to drink out of the pitcher. So I got a pitcher of the green shit and a pitcher of the red shit, and I double fisted my way through it and got various...
You double fisted your way through it. Oh, yeah. My God, dude.
And so by the time I got done with those, I could not walk. Like, I would stand up to move and then would fall down. So the next morning, I wake up in my bed on the base somehow. I don't know how I got there. But I'm face down in a bag full of McDonald's, because McDonald's is everywhere.
Sure.
And, like, as soon as I wake up, people start coming into my room, and they're like, hey, man, we had, like, 18 different IDs over there, because it was all, you had to have this passport, this ID, this, you know, that said you were.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they were coming in, like, hey, man, I found this. This is yours. You left it at, you know, name some random place. And, like, hey, man, I found this. You found this. Anyway, so they came, and I was like, what happened? So me and a buddy go down to Sharm el-Sheikh to figure out what happened. And, like, as I'm walking down the town, all these guys are like, hey, what's up, man? And, like, they're all high-fiving me, and I'm like, what is going on? Well, come to find out, there was this, like, karaoke singer in the town named Zoggy. And he was very popular entertainer.
Ziggy Zoggy.
Along the beach.
Oi, oi, oi.
And apparently, while drunk, I got up on stage with Zoggy and just rocked the house. And that was kind of how the night ended, and made myself pretty famous.
Wow.
So it's always fun to be the town drunk in a town you're not from.
In the Middle East, on the Sinai Peninsula.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nobody else has this story, Justin. You're the only person.
That's an amazing story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tell Dr. Ruff to eat that, yeah.
So anyway, so that this is a great chance for us to vote, Clayman. Do you think that story is going to be considered more or less emotionally poignant than Dr. Rife's description of the emergence of drinking habits in the Methodist Church?
Ha.
I agree. All those in favor say aye.
I think so. I think because, you know,
they're a little
when
different.
When you get hammered in the Holy Land, I think that should be a tour company.
Yeah.
I can't imagine
in the Holy Land.
I can't imagine that. Imagine, like, you're in Jerusalem and you're on, like a bus or something. And they're like, to your left is blah, blah, blah.
Big sign says Jesus drank here.
And
yeah.
Then
yeah.
His first miracle, right?
You also see that sign in Mexico City.
Yeah. Like,
it's pronounced different slightly.
Yeah. Real men love Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, pretty much everywhere you go there, it'd be Jesus right here.
Yeah, I think so.
I think that's...
Everywhere you go?
Well, everywhere in the Middle East.
Do they have, like, bars that turn water into wine?
No, but stuff actually, like
that.
So...
That'd be great.
So, the stone that Moses touched to bring water...
He didn't
water,
touch it, he hit it. That's why he got in trouble with God.
Yeah. But to bring water to his people, mm-hmm. That stone is actually there, and you can sit on it. Huh. And so there's a picture.
Does water
of me,
still come out?
Yeah, for some reason, when I was a kid, and like from the ages of like 18 to like 25,
were an adult.
Yeah. So, well, now I consider myself that I was a kid.
Legally,
I was,
sure. You were.
Legally, yeah.
You were legally responsible for your
actions.
Were
I to be caught by the law, I would have been an adult. But
God's law?
Man's law.
Man's law.
Murphy's law.
Law and order.
Continue.
Murphy Brown? I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, I had this thing about going to monuments and then climbing on top of them. I don't know why. I'm not a very smart person, I guess. And so the stone that Moses hit to bring water to his people, there's a picture of me sitting on it.
Sure.
So just like so, you know, the temple in Transformers 2 where they go to find whatever that thing is that'll bring Optimus Prime back to life.
Like the I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, that's in Petra. I also have a picture of me sitting on top of that.
Huh. I have seen that picture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that is interesting and very illegal.
Do you think it's haunted? I saw a TV show about that.
Well, really? You know what? Yeah. If it is, it's got to be when there's less people there, and there was like a million people there.
Did you camp at Petra? I've seen that you could camp in Petra.
They have these like weird...
like in the caves, right?
No. They have a like almost like a yurt that you can stay in, like right really? Outside of the... it's called... It's not the monument that's in Indiana Jones. It's the one... There's two of them. There's one that was in Indiana Jones, where right. they go to find the Holy Grail, which... It doesn't look like that. It's just a big room. Like, you walk in, it's just a big cavern.
Right.
And then there you go, you walk about 2 miles up a mountain, and there's the other one, which was in Transformers. And you can camp outside of that one. And there's all these coffee shops outside of it.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me.
Well, people love coffee, don't they?
Oh, man, it's everywhere. Well, over there they call it something else, but, you know.
And that's in Jordan.
Coffee.
Yeah, that's in Jordan.
Yeah, my wife lived there for a little while, like for a summer.
Yeah, she did an archaeology dig.
She did an archaeological dig. Yeah,
it's a really cool place, man. Petra,
I've heard, is a truly amazing place.
Yeah. I mean, of all the places that I visited in the Middle East, Israel was by far my favorite. Of course, we are always in southern Israel, which is like, I mean, it's just gorgeous down there. So
it's like Alabama.
No. There are no Nick Sabans in Israel.
Really?
Well, they're called Saban, but whatever.
Right.
Wait. Rewind and say that one more time.
Nick Saban. Yeah, that's
Nick Saban.
So,
how's the hummus?
It's fabulous, fresh, very.
That's
fresh.
A good question, actually. What was your favorite like food in the Middle East in the Greater?
Well, region? So the whole time, most of my traveling days I did when I was younger, and I didn't understand, you know, the joy of like experiencing other cultures.
You love McDonald's, we know.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah. I mean, when you wake up in a face full of it, it's. That's love.
The red shit, the green shit, the McDonald's shit. Yeah, I mean.
And then later,
the red, green, and McDonald's shit. It's like Christmas so it with is. Grimace.
Yes.
Grimace.
Grimace is the most disturbing character. Like, all right, guys, when I was a kid, I came up with the hypothesis that Grimace was like fat that had been experimented on by the McDonald's Corporation and that it rotted, but it becomes sentient, but not really.
It's like the
not bright.
That's what happened to the first Hamburglar. Like they did an experiment on him.
That's a horrifying. What a dark vision. But yes,
it's really weird because
don't tell me how to live my life, Eric.
I'm not.
Eric, I'm sorry.
What?
If that's what you thought about when you were a kid.
Yeah. No, I didn't say I was normal or sane.
What the fuck, man?
Yeah, I don't know, dude. I've always been a weird guy. I mean,
So I didn't really like get into experiencing the actual culture of the areas I lived in. So we ate a lot of fast food places, and so in Israel they have a Burger King, and you can only get a hamburger without cheese. If you want cheese, they will put it on a little plate next to it and slide it over to you. They will not put it together.
Why?
It's
Is this something against the rules there?
Yeah, it's a religious thing. Something about separating, I don't know, dairy from
cheese and meats can't be together.
Yeah,
yeah, because it's what? If you
yeah.
I'm out of that.
And,
I'm done.
Don't go.
To be kosher, you have to like cheese and meat. It's considered. It evolved from the idea that you should never. If you read in the Bible, it says you should never serve.
Where's Jay Rife when we need him?
Yeah.
That's very fair. He would know a lot more about this than me. But Dr. you should Rife, never
if
serve.
If you could email Eric and tell him the actual answer, that'd be awesome.
Maybe even consult Dr. Kellogg. He can always help too.
So you would never like make a soup or something by boiling a calf, the meat of a calf, in the milk of its mother.
Oh yeah.
Or the gross. Cheese, or make serving the cheese of the mother.
We do that all the time.
And that is because that was considered sadistic. So that's banned. And basically the idea was that was taken as an analogy to be a broader rule in kosher eating.
So, yeah.
Well, what about potato soup? Would that be allowed?
Of course.
What about baked potato soup?
Yes.
Why do we not? Let me
but
ask
not
you
with
this.
Bacon bits.
Let me ask
what
you this.
What if you put cheese on top of it afterwards?
No.
Is vodka considered potato milk?
No.
I think that's a valid question.
It is a valid question.
Yeah.
The answer is no.
Why do we not have potato milk?
Listen,
potatoes
if whey protein
don't have
can be made into muscle milk, then potatoes can be made into...
That's an easy
milk.
One to answer.
Did you say potatoes don't have nipples?
Potatoes don't have nipples.
They do have eyes.
Sure. You know, a lot of nipples. Things have eyes. Almost every animal on this planet has eyes. Only mammals have nipples.
Potatoes are not animals.
Exactly. That
That's yet, true. But if your mind keeps working.
Are you saying that, wait, are you saying that there is a, given enough time, I will come up with a variant history of Grimace that will describe him as a sentient potato?
If it involves you putting nibbles on Grimace, yes. I'm...
I don't think Grimace probably has nibbles, guys. No, he doesn't. Maybe he does.
Maybe, possibly. So, getting back to beer.
Let's really get into this, though.
No.
Grimace is, in many ways, Grimace... No. Grimace kind of looks like the cap of a mushroom.
No.
Or a...
I think he is from an island.
What island?
What island is that?
Pen Island.
So anyway, so back to beer. What I was going to say earlier is I think, you know, part of the flavor of the beer at times can be the cultural experience in which you drink the beer.
Yeah.
So like Stella.
That's a big part of any beer, yeah.
Yeah, so Stella, a lot of people don't like it because it's bitter, but I like it because my first experience with Stella was sitting on like this veranda type bar that they had in Sharm El Sheikh.
Yeah.
Where Stella's were served at like, I think it was like 75 cents.
That was your first experience, really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
First time I had it was in London at, you know, the bar in Two Smoky Barrels, in Snatch, where the guy,
Is that the one they could park a jumbo jet in front of?
The one where the guy like he comes in and he's cussing and he keeps getting shot.
Oh yeah, the Russian dude.
The Russian dude.
Yeah.
Von Garland and I drank in that bar, and that's where I had my first Stella.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is great, and that became my go-to beer the whole time I was in Britain. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. I'm sorry. So Sharm El Sheikh, you had your first Stella.
Yeah. No, I was just saying that, you know, like the experience around can alter the flavor to where what normally you would probably consider a bad or shitty beer may actually be good. So, like, MGD is not a good beer. However,
no.
When I lived
in Wisconsin... But not the worst beer.
Not the worst beer. But when I lived in Wisconsin and I was going to the wonderful school of Beloit...
Yeah.
Go Terps.
Yep. We went and saw a baseball game. It was the Beloit Snappers. They're a single-A team.
Yep.
Arguably the worst...
A nice little park, too, by the way.
Yeah, but arguably the worst...
Horrible
baseball team I've ever seen.
Brewers affiliate, right? They were when I was there.
Yeah,
they
well, still? It's like 50 feet away from an MGD brewery. And,
yeah.
And so,
yeah.
Like, the announcer, like, the fifth inning comes around, and it's just awful. And plus, I'm having to explain it to, like...
Everyone from every country on Earth.
Yeah, because it's a language school, so you got people from every country on Earth who've never seen baseball, and I'm trying to explain baseball to them.
And by the way, trying to explain baseball to people who are not from America is often painfully
difficult. Yeah, and never try to compare it to cricket because, oh my God, they flip out. Anyway, so the announcer for the team is like, he gets on the mic, and he's like, listen, if the pitcher strikes out anybody, I mean anybody, in the next inning... then MGDs are 50 cents a cup. And sure enough, man, the pitcher came out and struck a dude out, and then the rest of the stadium got blitzkrieged.
Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
On MGD. And then, luckily, the cops were there drinking, too, so when we drove Because
it's Wisconsin, man.
Yeah, dude, everybody drinks in Wisconsin.
Wisconsin is the Holy Land. I'm telling you. Like, I really do feel like once this podcast is super famous... And we are
next week.
Within the next probably 7 to 14 days, I want us to do a tour of Wisconsin.
That's breweries. When you finish your Valtrex, isn't it? Oh my God.
Well then,
I do not use Valtrex.
So
not after next week. Your 7 to 14 days will be up.
Jesus Christ!
Wow! It was for shingles, you asshole.
While he's in the back, while he's in the other room, just shaking his fist in the air like the victory dance for Clayman for insulting me. Well played.
So you realize that there. So when I was at Beloit, there was a guy up there. He was like, you know, there's two geographical regions to Wisconsin, and I said, what are they? And he was like, we've got Southern Wisconsin, which is where we are, and then you've got DNC Wisconsin, and I'm like, what is DNC Wisconsin? And he's like, that's damn near Canada.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's great.
I really, everywhere I've ever been in Wisconsin, I've loved it.
It's, I mean, like, we talked about it after I moved back, like, as far as, like, you know, like, Southern politeness, that's the only place outside of the South that I've ever experienced Southern politeness.
Minnesota was just as nice.
Well, it's pronounced Minnesota, but, you know, whatever.
It's just so damn cold. What the hell?
Oh, God, I can't stop sneezing. I think somebody has a cat in here or something.
So we flew into Minnesota on the way back from my last work trip. And
it's on your head.
That actually may be what it is. I'm going to take that off. Oh, I'm allergic to raccoon, guys.
You're allergic to your own accoutrement.
I was going down a road. Thank you. That was going to go down the wrong road.
Allergic to raccoon.
What, we've got two more beers. We've got two more beers to talk about.
Okay,
so let's throw out some reviews. So what I've got written for the website, I've got Golden Unfiltered, dark, really a beautiful beer. Good amount of head that fades pretty gradually. And do you have anything else you would like to add about like how it looks?
No, it just to me it reminded me of like a good dark hazy pale ale.
Yeah.
Like great color. I mean,
go big orange.
Yeah. Hopefully we'll find out.
Yeah. Yeah, they're playing South Carolina tonight.
Yeah, they are.
Where my wife is from.
So it's like opposite ends of the team.
So
the world,
my sister
lives
in South Carolina, and the person who won the $1.6 billion lottery is from South Carolina. And my sister has yet to call me to say she hasn't won it.
It was like 10 miles from my sister-in-law's house.
So
the ticket was signed.
Until she calls me and says she didn't win it.
You just are assuming she did.
I'm assuming she did. Yeah.
That's the right decision.
So I'm assuming that now my brother-in-law is insanely rich, and I am still poor.
Well.
So that's going to be awesome.
That's sensible.
Yeah.
Okay, so flavor, I'm thinking you'd say it's
mildly
a little
hoppy.
Bit sweet. It's hoppy, but not overwhelmingly hoppy.
No,
right?
No, it's not grass.
Citrus notes that kind of like for me are like mandarin, not like lemony or grapefruity so much. But
no, yeah.
Yeah, a little orangey, yeah. There's the aftertaste from the
glass.
I would
say like orange peel orange, not like the actual.
Yeah,
orange.
It's not like a
Asheville.
Ton.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, very. Once more.
It was just beam circles.
Yeah.
The aftertaste is a little bit rough when you drink it from the glass, but like from the can, I got nothing offensive at all.
Well, what I was going to say is so the beer, I guess on the second one, you're supposed to drink the second one from the can, and I poured half into the glass accidentally. So I let it sit there for a while, and the flavor actually got, the aftertaste got better. As it sat.
Okay.
But
so as it warmed up, it
got
better.
The front end was not as powerful.
Okay.
So yeah, if you let it sit for a few minutes, it's a good beer.
I like it. It's a good beer.
What's the price on this 6-pack?
This 6-pack cost me only like $6-$7.
For that money?
This is solid.
Hands down, it's probably one of the better beers we've had.
Yeah, I would agree.
I mean,
I would
definitely call this like a game day beer, like one where you're going to be sitting and watching a football game.
And you want something a little more complicated for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't want to drink water that's, you know, been flavored a little. You want to drink something that's going to get you drunk. It's good.
I didn't find anything about the ingredients. I couldn't find anywhere a list of the ingredients. One of the things I hope is that maybe if you are somehow connected to the brewery and you hear about this review and you wanted to share the ingredients with us, we'd love to know. I think they're pretty high quality. I mean, the haziness makes me think maybe there's a little weed in it. Almost.
It's made. It says
weed?
On the can.
Wheat.
Oh, I thought weed. You said weed.
Oh,
it doesn't
like,
have it on the
what?
Can.
It's got CBD oil on it.
Nice.
So it's made by. It says brewed by Fat Bottom Brewing, which makes the rocking world go round. I think
it does make the rocking world go round. Yeah.
That's where the girls work. The Fat Bottom girls.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that too. So like you've seen. Claiming belittled the old cans. What do you think about the current ones? Even though they look the same.
I mean, if you're going for... Like, I think they did a good job on making it general World's Fair. Because it's got the medals from all American World's Fairs.
Yeah.
And
there's a documentary, by the way, that I've linked on the podcast.
Actually, it's got all of them.
That it has... Yeah, it has all the previous ones. And it's really worth looking at that documentary... It's totally 80s, first off. Like, it's worth watching just for the 1982-ness of it.
Yeah.
But it goes into the entire process of the development of the original World's Fair beer, including can design.
So it's got Knoxville as the last... Was Knoxville the last World's Fair?
No, there was at least one after, but I can't remember...
So we didn't destroy it? Okay, good.
We did not. I think people. Yeah. I think the problem with World's Fairs is that once you started getting a proliferation of like permanent,
once you start making a beer theme for it, parks, and you're like, okay, this has gone too far.
No. I mean, just the internet. You start getting, you get Disneyland, yeah, and then you get Disney World, but then you get like the Six Flags, and you get all of these. Like the World's Fair just kind of loses some Hershey of its appeal. Hershey Park. Penn, that's Island. Your favorite.
Penn Island.
God. So anyway,
King's Dominion.
Which, that's a Six Flag though, isn't it?
Not sure.
What about Dollywood? Hello.
Dollywood.
Busch Gardens.
Silver Dollar City. Yeah. What?
What is what?
Hmm? King's Dominion, what?
Huh?
I heard King's Dominion and Sex. I don't know
why. Wiley's getting very upset with you.
King's Dominion and Sex. With me?
Yeah, with you.
Why with me? What did I say?
I said it. You can be mad at me. What's the one that's in Ohio?
That's King's Island.
King's Dominion's the one in Virginia.
King's Island's in
Cincinnati.
Penn Island
is not real. It's just a dirty joke.
That's not true.
I'm sure there is a Penn Island.
That's more of a state of beating states.
All right, so let's go on and do a ranking on this. Justin, you're our guest, so I'm going to let you go on and give this a ranking.
All right. Well, you know, as a creator of things that get rated, I tend to rate things fairly easily because, you know, I know the work that gets put into creating something. You know, you as an artist will know that as well. So
absolutely.
I would give it a 3.5, easy.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I would have no problem giving this a 3.5. So that's, we'll see. Yeah.
How about you, Clayman?
I'm probably going to go like 3.4 on it, just because I want to be a little below Justin there.
You just want to be like tougher.
No, I think it's good. I think for me, like the IPA-ish, I really did like IPAs a lot, and I think I just kind of overdid it.
You kind of burn out a little bit.
Yeah, just kind of, I don't know what I like now.
Stouts,
probably porters more.
Well, we'll find out.
Yeah. That's fair.
We're going to keep drinking until we find out.
Yeah, well, we've got some to try, yeah.
It's like, apparently he likes bleach and turpentine.
Yeah.
That was after 45 beers.
We've got to get going on that because we've got a 4:30.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we do, yeah. So I would give this, I'm going to give it a 3.25. And I think it's really good. I really enjoyed it. And solid beer. So, all right, we're going to take a really brief break. We're going to open up some of the and try these other beers that Clayman has brought. Wiley is chanting.
I didn't bring any beer.
Justin brought.
Yeah, my name is Justin.
I apologize. I'm sorry, I'm distracted by Wiley.
What if his name was Justin Clayman?
Wiley is chanting something. I don't know what's happening. Guys, it's the spookiest month. We're going to be right back with more Pickled Eggs and Cold Beer. Oh, wait, I forgot to turn off the recording.
Jesus. I thought he was going to say I forgot to record it.
God damn it!
Okay, gang, that's part one. We're well into it. I've got it edited. I'm very excited. We're going to go on and post everything to the website that we have so far. And part two will release in a week. So you'll get the second half of this adventure with Knoxville Beers. Guys, thanks for listening. Again, if you have any questions or comments, hit us up on Twitter. Visit us on Facebook. We'd love to hear from you. You can also write us at pickledeggsandcoldbeer@gmail.com. Please check out our website, pickledeggsandcoldbeer.com. Guys, any ideas you have, anything that you think is interesting, if you've got a review of a beer you'd like us to kind of share, like the world's your oyster, whatever you want us to talk about, let us know. Again, we're sorry it took us so long to get this out. It's been really busy. Hopefully we're back on schedule again for the foreseeable future. I love you all. You're all my best friends. Goodbye.